This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Teron Davenport, ESPN, NFL Nation, Titans reporter extraordinaire. TD, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, man? I can't say I can complain one bit. It's beautiful out here in Phoenix.
So you are at the owners/coaches meetings in Arizona. Tell us what you have heard about the Titans that you find most interesting so far since you've been out there.
Yeah, I think the most interesting thing, and I'm about to write it right now, is they're going to go, at least from what I've gathered, they're going to go best player available, and it doesn't matter what the position is. So if the best player on their board happens to be a guard, guess what? From what I've gathered, they're going to go guard. I think more running back is the direction that takes you. And that's obviously a position that everybody is very, very interested in. I asked about just like when you're looking at a player like a Jeremiah Love, you know, how much nitpicking, like do you find yourself nitpicking because it's like, yo, he can't be this good of a prospect. And that was something that they admitted to, and again, it goes back to the best player available, and there's different things that they look at to be able to separate, you know, when there's a cluster of guys. So that was the most interesting thing to me. And also that there isn't any doubt that Bane could line up in the wide nine alignment if asked to, Reuben Bane Jr.
So correct me if I'm wrong. You said last week when we asked you about the order of prospects for the Titans, you said that you think that David Bailey had the inside track followed by Jeremiah Love. Has that changed based on what you heard today?
No, it hasn't changed. It just, you know, knowing that Bailey is right there is probably the top. It was more conversation about Bane and just, you know, the quote-unquote limitations. So that's all. He was a hot topic in the conversation.
Well, let me ask you about Reuben Bane, Teron, because you are a ball knower, much more than I am. You grind the tape. You watch the film. I rely on the data. And the data tells me that pass rushers with Reuben Bane's arm length don't typically produce at a high level in the NFL. But again, you watch the tape, you talk to people in the know. What are they telling you about Bane in that particular aspect and why the Titans may not be concerned about that if they choose to draft him at number 4?
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that is a concern, frankly. And I think when you look at the way that they do this, right, that, you know, you got to look at background and you got to look at beyond just the play. And one thing, Jason Taylor is a Hall of Fame defensive end. Obviously, he won with length, but he taught Reuben Bane Jr. and Akeem Ezzedor how to use their hands. So, you know, that's something that is really coming out as far as, like, you know, how a lot of people feel about Bane. But the thing that really stands above all else when I talk to a lot of these people is hey, listen, he has the power to he'll power through an offensive lineman. And as long as he could do that, yeah, the whole length and you know, speed off the edge is something that they like in players, you know, like a David Bailey. But they like just the pure ability to go impact the game and get to the quarterback. that Bane has shown throughout the year.
Now, TD, we know that, you know, free agency technically isn't over because there will be another wave of guys that will be cut eventually as we start getting closer and closer to camp. Have they hinted on what they may do moving forward as far as free agency? Because, again, we all know they did go get and they filled some holes and they got some good players. But the one side they really didn't address was the offensive line. And maybe, like you said, they do it, taking the best player available. And if it's a guard, then so be it. But what have they said about that sort of next wave of free agency?
Well, they first and foremost said it's not over. Kevin Zeitler is still a guy that's in play. So that could be a post-draft thing. But I wouldn't expect anything of too much significance until after the draft, to be honest with you. But while we're talking offensive line and the interior part of it, you know, they're not opposed. If they got to start two rookies along the interior, then they'll do that. I mean, you know, that's something Mike Bergonzi has said. You know, he pointed to Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith that started for a Super Bowl winning or a deep playoff running team. I think they lost that year to the Eagles, if I'm not mistaken. But nevertheless, these are two rookies that started, you know, on the offensive line for a championship caliber team. So that's something that, you know, he said, if Bergonzi, that is, if that's something that they end up doing, then so be it. He felt that there are starters that could be had at the top part of day two, you know, at the center position. So, look, if an offensive lineman is one of the top three picks, I know people are going to want to, you know, run and take a jump off the pedestrian bridge, but don't do it because it is an area of need.
Now, TD, if indeed they do draft Jeremiah Love, which I hope they do, what do you think the next step is for either Pollard or Spears? Do you think they go in camp with all three of them? Or if they draft a running back, they may be looking to trade one of them as they're drafting Jeremiah Love, because that would be the running back that they would be drafting. So what do you see with those two guys if indeed they draft Jeremiah Love?
Yeah, and that's the thing that's interesting. It would be unfortunate for Pollard if they cut him post June 1st because he's hitting the market later, you know what I mean? And he doesn't have an opportunity to go get acclimated with the team early in the process. But I don't know, you know, because Pollard had a solid year last year. Taji Spears has the injury. Pollard, you save money. Taji Spears is a cheap contract. So there's a lot of back and forth that they're going to have to do. But I think if Love gets picked, one of those guys are not going to be able to be there. And it's just like, okay, Pollard is a longer-term veteran. Do you want to keep that veteran there to help guide your young guy, your first-round pick? Or do you feel like Spears could do that? And it's all just about how much value that brings to them in the big picture.
Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, how do you think the Brandon Ayuk situation is going to play itself out in San Fran?
That is a good question. He definitely won't be back, but it's just a matter of when they go ahead and pull the trigger. There's a lot of personality things that seem to come out, you know, about him and his time in San Francisco, which obviously isn't good. And I don't think a team like the Titans should, you know, jump into that market. But there are some teams, maybe like the Chiefs or something like that, that have an already proven established locker room that might be able to take on whatever personality issues. But he's definitely not going to be with the 49ers next year.
And that says something there. I was just curious because, you know, Robert Saleh has already shown that he'll grab some guys that he's familiar with in different places. So I wonder what he knows and what he thinks about Ayuk.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's something that I'll ask about tomorrow. I'm not sure to what extent he'll answer because, you know, coaches typically don't like to talk too much about a player on another team, currently on another team, you know what I mean? So we'll see, but that familiarity, if there's something there, obviously, you look at Robert Saleh and what he worked to do his second time there in San Francisco, and that's connect to everybody, you know, on both sides of the ball. So I'm sure that there were conversations. Well, I don't know, because you know, from what I understand, Ayuk wasn't around much either. So I'm not sure. That'll be a good question to ask tomorrow.
Now, TD, is the 18th game the thing that's dominating the conversation at the owners' meeting, or is it something else in conjunction with that?
No, that's it. There are some minor special teams things that you'll probably see change. And that's going to be interesting because it's the change is different from how the Titans work, you know, on kickoff teams. So keep an eye out for that. That's the main thing of the 18th game. And, I mean, that's in conversation from everything all the way down to, okay, when things start happening as far as international games and, you know, how that could alleviate having to give up a home game. You know what I mean? And there's different things like that.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, has been our guest on D-Mays, Ving, and the Donick. He joins us every Monday. TD, enjoy the beautiful weather. Get some sun. Get some work done. We'll catch up next week.
All right. Thanks, guys, man. Appreciate it. And you know what it is, Willie. Let's go, man.
Playing the cards. Robbers, get the cards tonight. Hey, we were talking about painful moments watching. We have plenty of them, Teron, because Adam, of course, had his heart ripped out by UConn over the weekend with UConn hitting that shot. But if I say Mike Socia to you, what do you think about
it? I think about the home run that he hit, man. It's so funny because as you're talking about painful moments, that's the first one that came up. Because that 88 team, I couldn't wait to see the Mets go beat the Oakland A's. I couldn't wait to see that. But it never came to fruition.
It never leaves you.
You just re-unlocked a bad memory.
Sorry.
Well, try to gather yourself, Teron, and we'll catch up next week.
All right. I appreciate it.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, the Nashville Predators had a rough end of the week. 8 games left in the regular season. What will it take for them to make the playoffs? We will discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. And speaking of 1025 The Game, 1025 The Game and Team Boxing League have your chance to win a pair of VIP tickets as Nashville Smash takes on Phoenix Fury at Municipal Auditorium on Friday, April 17th. Just text the keyword FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to the game text line at 615-737-1025 to enter to win.